Hello and welcome back to week 11. I really hope you've had a fantastic week and enjoyed the exercises that you were introduced to last week. And I hope you're looking forward to today's session, which is continuing working together with procrastination and also accountability. So how did you get on with your weekly questions? Please, if you haven't already brought them with you, please find them now. And let's start working on this week's recap questions. So what insights did you have around procrastination? It'd be a really great idea for you to take time to stop, as always, and allow yourself 30 to 90 minutes to go through these questions and through some of the other exercises that we're going to be doing together today. What insights did you have around yourself, your goals, and your procrastination? Answer that question, please, before moving on to the next one, just as if you were in a class with me at the moment. Were there any particular times that you found you were more likely to procrastinate or to make excuses? If the answer is yes to that, just stop and become aware. Remember, everything we do is about awareness so that you can challenge it, so that you can make changes and start to do something different. So were there any particular times? And if you're not absolutely sure, then stop and notice now. And make sure that you're going to notice for the future weeks as well. If there were, question number four, what did you do to change your behaviour so that you could move towards achieving your goal? And question five, what evidence have you got to show that you broke some old habits around procrastination during the week? You know, even just one piece of evidence is a huge step forward if you might in the past have found yourself procrastinating. So look for some evidence, and again, if you can't think of any or if you don't know, make it a commitment that you're going to notice from now on in the future following weeks. Question six, did any resistance to changing show up during the week? If it did, what did you do about it? If it didn't, well done. And question seven, when you looked at your goals and when you looked at the gap from where you are now to where you want to be, what steps did you identify needed to be taken to move you on? So as you looked at your goal, as you looked at the gap that's between where you are and where you want to be, what did you identify that you needed in order to move on? If you didn't, please do that now. If you did, then become aware of the changes that you're actually starting to make. Question eight. Have you started to notice any changes? By now, I would expect every single week for you to be noticing changes. And this is a great time for you to recap on how many different changes. We're into week 11 now. So there must be so many, even if they're just tiny, changes that you're starting to notice. And we talked about this ages ago, that if you're not, then perhaps you're not looking, or perhaps you're not paying enough attention, or you haven't got people supporting you and becoming more aware. So what changes are you noticing? Please note them down now. And what one thing, question number nine, did you learn from last week's session? On week 10. What change or progress have you made, or what change or progress have you noticed during the week? And have you congratulated yourself or celebrated that change and progress in some way? As always, if the answer is yes, well done, find the evidence, write it down. If the answer is no, then start to notice from now on and start to commit to noticing and congratulating yourself any progress that you notice or that you make in the week. So, as we enter week 11, if you've been following this program regularly and consistently, you probably have a much better idea of how you operate by now, what your behaviours and patterns are, and how they can support you or hinder you when you're goal setting. Are you keeping up with the lessons? Really, really hope so. If not, what do you need to do now to keep on top of them? Ask yourself, come up with an answer now. I mean, I know you know that in the past, this course was delivered over a 10-week period. I've said this before. And the results were significant. So imagine how much more there'd be to do if you had to do it in 10 weeks. I'm reminding you of this. So you've got extra weeks to pull this together. When you're working with procrastination, you're going to find it essential to learn how to control your negative thoughts. Because if your mind says or shouts that you can't do something or encourages you to put it off or do it later, you've got to refuse to listen to that old way of behaving. If you've got a lot of inner dialogue, there are a number of different exercises to support you with that, but I want to introduce you to one right now to see if we can help you to use it so that you can start to challenge some of that inner dialogue. So, here's an exercise for you to do right now. Get in touch with where your mind chatter or your inner dialogue lives or sits, whether it's in your head or somewhere else in your body. If you need to stop the audio, do that now, but really get clear about where your mind chatter or your inner dialogue lives. Notice, does it have a weight? If the answer is yes, is it light or is it heavy? Just notice. And what colour is the mind chatter? It doesn't have to be a specific colour, it might just be light or dark. But if it does have a colour, name it now and notice what colour it is. How does it move? Is it slow? Or maybe it's fast. Is it up and down? Maybe it's clockwise or anti-clockwise. Get very clear about how it moves. Take the time to do this. It's really important. And now, just pay attention to any messages that it's giving you. Now that you've got what it looks like, what it feels like, and how it's moving, and also if there's any weight or any messages that it's giving you, I want you to tell it to stop. So however it was moving, I want you to imagine that a large wooden spoon has been introduced into the picture in your head. If you haven't closed your eyes, you might want to do that now. And I want you to start to stir the spoon in the opposite direction to the way that your thoughts were moving a moment ago. So if they were moving up and down, then you might want to now get them to move in a clockwise direction. If they were moving in a clockwise direction before, you might want to move them in an anti-clockwise direction or up and down. You need to get the opposite movement so that it feels slower and so that it starts to take control of some of the mind chatter for you. Now, this exercise is going to help break your old patterns, and it's one that you can do and call on anywhere you like. And it only takes seconds to do, and it's very effective. So if you weren't doing it with me then, give it a go now. Pick something that causes you or your mind chatter to go into overload. Check out the mental program as we did above. So we're looking at the weight, we're looking at the colour, we're looking at how the mind chatter moves, and we're paying attention to any messages that you're being given. So do that now. And then interrupt it by changing the direction that it's moving in. So this is going to slow it right down. So go back and notice, after you've slowed it right down, go back and notice, is the mind chatter around procrastination, around the topic that you were procrastinating about, the same as it was before? Or has it changed? Often, the initial program, that's the program we're talking about above, the colour, the weight, how it's moving, and the attention will have changed too. So notice this. It's a great way to measure any change. Now perhaps you'll notice it feels a little bit lighter than it did before. Maybe you'll notice that the colour is a little bit lighter. Maybe the mind chatter seems more settled or has just slowed down a bit. But notice whatever difference you notice and write it down. Please do that right now. And now you can continue with the task that you wanted to work on before the mind chatter started up the old procrastination program. Or you might just feel that you're calmer or more relaxed. As I said, this is a really quick break state interruption technique whenever your mind's going crazy and jumping all over the place. There's a lot more that can be done with this exercise, but this is enough to just start to break some of those old habits and to get you thinking in a different way, in a slower way, and to allow your mind chatter to take a break, take a little rest. So breaking habits can be easy when you decide you really want to break them. So if you've made the decision that you do want to do that, you need to practice what you want instead, and you need to do that often. You're so good at your old habits because you've practiced them so often. I know you know this, but you see, knowing it and feeling it and getting it, you know that aha moment, that like, oh yeah, I've got it, rather than just intellectualizing, can sometimes take a little bit of time or a little bit of practice. So I really want you to start to notice the old habits like procrastination around specific topics or subjects or thinking, and to get focused and clear about what you want instead. Use things like the wooden spoon that we just did now. Chris Milbank introduced me to that one, for which I'm so grateful because it's helped me and many of my clients. And we can be creative with it, and we can embellish it, and we can add to it. But it's a great one to just interrupt your thought patterns and help you get a kick up the bum kind of thing, to start to feel and think and see things in a different way. So if you want to create new practices, new habits, you've got to identify the existing one. Then you have to interrupt it. And then you've got to put something new in its place. So if you had mind chatter that was going around crazy and just driving you to distraction because it was so noisy and so loud and so busy, what we've done is we've slowed it down. But you might think of some different things, more creative things that you'd like to do to interrupt it. And then you've got to think about what do you want instead. And now you need to put that in its place. And so it might be a visualization of how you want the task to be, or it might be you want to feel differently about a task you've been procrastinating about, or you might just want to think differently about it, in which case you need to start thinking about what do you want instead of what you used to have. And then you've got to practice that new behavior, that new habit, lots and lots of times. And you're going to have to do this consciously until it becomes an unconscious behavior. As you already know from last week, in order to break procrastination, you've got to do something. You've got to do something about it, and you've got to take some actions. And so what we want to do is make them a bit different, a bit fun, a bit lighter, so that they're playful and they allow you to experiment with them, because they're not the same old dread or the same old way of doing things. Of course, I get it that it isn't going to be easy for everyone, but when you do break your first procrastination habit, you're so pleased with yourself that you'll find it's worth all the effort you've put in. You might need to put a little bit of effort in, but some of you will need to put in a bit more. But remember what we covered last week. So many people procrastinate either because of fear, or because of uncertainty, or because of attitude. Sometimes they've just made up their minds that they're going to fail, or it's too difficult to change. And sometimes they don't want to do the task that they're procrastinating over. So go back to the session on choice and actually lay out the task. And if you don't want to do it, either find someone else to do it, or go tell whoever it is you need to tell that you don't want to do it, and do something different. But know there may be consequences. Check the consequences. And then if you don't like them, you might decide you want to do the task. Start becoming really clear, really honest with yourself about what's going on for you, whether it's fear or attitude, uncertainty about your skills or your capabilities, or whether you just don't want to do it. And that way you can start to step into your own personal power. Now, if over the past week you found yourself thinking in any way like I've just described to you, not wanting to do it or fearful, etc., make a note to challenge that kind of thinking in case it crops up again this week and for all future weeks too. So please, write down anything you've noticed over the past week around procrastination now. Maybe something new's come up since we did the entry questions. But please write some points down now. Stop the audio and come back in just a moment. So, in order to change anything that's holding you back, it's going to be important to take responsibility for what's within your control. Remember the cause and effect week? Coaching and having a coach can really help you, because it supports you by asking you questions that you may not have thought about before, or questions that no one has ever asked you before. So in order to develop your personal power, you'll need to learn how to take responsibility for your goals, for your choices, and for your actions, along with becoming accountable. You've got to take action and you've got to step into your personal power. Now, I know that many coaches may be listening to this program and you know this stuff. But you know, sometimes going back to the absolute beginning, going back to the basics, is essential when we're looking at working on new goals, especially ones that may cause us to doubt ourselves or to procrastinate. And I use everything I'm sharing with you here. This is the absolute basics. This is where I started with all of this stuff some years ago. And this stuff still works. And I read it and I use it on myself, and sometimes it doesn't need to be sophisticated. It just needs to be simple and straightforward. So even if you know all this stuff, it's still worth remembering it on a regular and daily basis. Because I've just said, knowing it isn't the same as really getting it. And when you get it, you're not going to need to fight yourself with procrastination or with mind chatter anymore, because you'll just automatically know how to handle it, how to break those states. So do please remember that you've got a choice always, and individuals are able to make changes to their lives when they decide they want to. As I've already mentioned, you can change bad habits by wanting to, and you can defeat the habit of procrastination, but you've got to believe you can. So do you believe that you can achieve your goals? Check in again. I know we're in week 11 now, but just check in. Do you believe you can? See, procrastination causes anxiety and worry, and each time you avoid doing something because of fear of failure or whatever it is that's going on for you, you start to knock your self-esteem and your confidence, and you make it harder to get started. And I know this because I've done this myself in the past, procrastinated, mainly because of fear of a number of different possible emotional outcomes, or because of judgment or being criticized or not getting it right. And it was so wonderful when coaching helped me understand that actually the only way I can really learn is by not getting something right. And the only way I can move forward is by learning from the experience I just had that didn't work. And by facing anxiety and by facing fear. And I'm so glad that I did make the decision to work on those, because now my life is so much more evolved and so much more enjoyable because I'm less fearful of trying new things or of making mistakes. Now, there's a difference between learning from mistakes and going into something unprepared. And so sometimes all we really need to do is check out what skills do we need, what capabilities do we need, and what are the steps. And sometimes just knowing the order can take procrastination away. So I want you to remember that if you're procrastinating, check in with it. What's stopping you from taking action if you really want to achieve this goal? So as I mentioned last week, there's one, and I mentioned it earlier just now as well, there's a main way to overcome procrastination, and that's get on and do something. So for everything that we're going to do in this program, the aim is to help you get prepared for action. So we've already looked at goal setting. We've got clear about your fears. You've probably got tools to identify and handle fears so that when you do take action, which you probably are by now, I really hope you are by now, you're starting to realize that you're no longer as fearful. And that's because of what I've just said, planning and preparation and practice. And in fact, you might find you're not fearful, you're excited. And I remember when I say on my trainings, I heard many years ago that the difference between fear and excitement is breath. You see, when we're scared, we drop our bodies and we hold our breath. Or we might hyperventilate. But when we're excited, we stand differently and we breathe. But we still get that sensation of goosebumps or the butterflies in the tummy. And when we check in with fear, there's some similarities in what's going on in our body. But when we're excited, we just shift into a stronger position, a different stance. And of course, we could try smiling, because when we do that, we're changing the attitude mentally, physically, emotionally, and energetically as well. So give it a go now. Think about how you're sitting, standing, holding your body and breathing when you're fearful. And then think about how you sit and stand and hold your body and breathe when you're excited, and really notice what's going on in your body and see if there's any similar sensations or feelings, so that when you do feel fearful, you can recognize and realize that if you were to just shift how you're standing or sitting, shift how you're holding your body, breathing more deeply, notice how you could step into excitement or a good emotional feeling rather than fear, so that you can start to use this again. And I know you know this, we've done this many, many times, but I'm going to keep reminding you, remember of that, keep reminding you of the key tools at work in terms of moving us forward out of negative emotional states or physical states. So give that a go now, and just get clear about what your body does and how it feels when you're feeling fearful, and the same when you're feeling excited or in a really good place, and start practicing interchanging them, moving from a state of fear into a state of excitement. And if excitement's the wrong word for you, find a more powerful or more useful word for you. But please do that now before you move on. Okay, so you've got the exercise in your book, your workbook, and it goes through everything for you, just in case you didn't do that just now, or just in case you weren't absolutely sure about how to do it, or you didn't notice it was in your workbook. So if you turn to your workbooks now, you'll see that there's some questions that you can read about your observations when you're fearful, and also the same for when you're excited. So please go look at that now. Do the exercise now. Even if you had a go just a second ago, do it again now. Get good at this so that you can switch really, really fast. Please go and do that now. So when I did this exercise some time ago, I noticed that apart from the way I held myself and what I was saying to myself and where I looked, everything else was the same. So my breathing was the same, whether I was fearful or excited. And my goosebumps all over were the same. And the feeling in my chest moving up to my throat was exactly the same when I was in both states. The main difference was that when I was fearful, I also felt tearful, and my eyes were looking down, and my shoulders were slumped, and I was saying negative things to myself and shaking my head. But when I was excited, I noticed that I felt scared, but I was smiling nervously, I'll admit. But I was breathing deeper. I was looking up. My head was high. I was saying reassuring things to myself. And I changed from my head shaking to my head nodding, even though I was feeling a little bit fearful, as well as excited, a little bit anxious, but by changing my body state, it became a positive emotional feeling rather than the negative one that would have stopped me from taking action before. So I wonder what you discovered. I wondered what you noticed about when you're in a fearful state. I'm not talking about you being petrified. I'm talking about you being fearful of taking some action. And when you're in an excited state, I wonder what you noticed. It would be really good for you to put this somewhere to remind you to check it out until you get naturally good at it. Where will you put this information? Where will you keep it so that you can see it on a regular basis, so that you can call on it whenever you start to doubt yourself or get fearful or start to procrastinate? Make a decision about that now, please. So, what else can you do with this information? Well, as we've already covered, when you know how you behave when you're fearful, and when you know how you behave when you're in a more resourceful or positive state, you can start to change your body language. You can more easily challenge your inner dialogue, and you can readjust it. And you've got lots of tools and tips and techniques so far to help you to do that. You can also change where your focus is and hold your head up higher and move into a more powerful state. And if you haven't given this a go yet, because I know there's some of you that won't, you'll just be listening to this, or it won't be the right time for you. Time's always a great excuse for procrastinators. Well, I'm going to urge you to do it now. And if you can't do it now, then stop listening to this and listen to it when you can do it. Because the ideal is that you do these things as and if you were in a class with me. We'd be doing this as an exercise, a group exercise, pairing up exercise, people doing it by themselves, copying me doing it. So I urge you to please do it now. It really works, and it can make all the difference between you taking action and not taking action. So either stop listening to this now and pick it up again when you're in a position where you can go and do this exercise, or stop what you're doing and try it now. Turn the audio off and come back when you've had a go. So I'd also recommend that you consider reading Susan Jeffers' book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. There's some interesting little bits in there that could support you with moving on from fear and procrastination. And when you face fear and you do it anyway, you expand yourself because you step out of your comfort zone. We've talked about comfort zone before, and you step into your stretch zone. And such actions, even if they're tiny, tiny steps, they give you a big confidence boost by taking action. And it is, as I've said, okay for it to be a little step. It doesn't have to be a huge one, although some people will love to take big ones. Others will need to take lots of little ones. The very thing that you feared or procrastinated about will end up having you smiling or laughing about in the near future, as your imaginary fears that have been keeping you from taking action in the past suddenly start to shrink or disappear by the actions and the steps that you take on a regular basis. And as you already know, you can do something about procrastination right now, today. So here's the last set of tips on this subject to support you. Which ones will you choose to do to move you forwards? Here's number one. Get clear about your goal and the end date. Break it down into manageable chunks. You know this stuff. Prioritize it. Set realistic time frames. Set up measurements to regularly see how far you've travelled, and your coach will help you with these steps. Give yourself permission to adjust your goal or the time frame if need be. Find someone to encourage and support you as well as your coach. Use affirmations and past experiences to support you in moving forwards. Take at least one action, doing something that you don't like doing every day, at least 4 or 5 days a week until you get good at doing the things you don't like and getting them out of the way. Be honest about how you spend your time. If you know that you're coming in and playing on the PlayStation or Xbox or sitting down and watching too much telly when you could be doing a little bit of that and a little bit of the actions that you need to take, be honest with yourself. Face up to it. And if you find you haven't got enough time, get up earlier. A lot of clients I've worked with have said that getting up 1 or 2 hours ahead of their normal time and getting these tasks done and out of the way sets them up to have more energy for the day and to feel so much better about themselves and their goals. And it might mean you go to bed earlier, or it might mean you need less sleep because you're not worrying and carrying the weight of all these things that you haven't done. They really are energy stealers, things that we need to do, should do, have to do, must do, and we're not getting them done. We're just trailing them behind us, and they're very weighty and very energy consuming. Change your mindset, change your attitude, change your body language, change your mind chatter, change your old programs and change your old behaviors. We've done all of this, so this is a recap, isn't it? And then get a filing system that works. Get a diary or a filing system or some sort of program that really works that helps you to be able to plan yourself and move yourself forward. It doesn't have to be rigid. It doesn't have to be something that constricts you beyond belief. I know some people hate filing systems and organization plans, but just take one goal and work on it a little bit at a time. Get yourself organized. It again will improve your energy. And if you're procrastinating about that, ask yourself what's going on. And again, you could work on that with your coach. Now, when you have planned and prioritized and practiced, stop thinking. You could use a wooden spoon maybe to interrupt your thinking and get on and just do it. Just get it out of the way. If you're at work or home, keep a log, a journal or a diary for a few days, or ideally up to a week, about how you spend your time. This can be really helpful in identifying just where you're wasting time or making excuses about having no time, and you find that you're doing things that really aren't helpful or useful. Use your diary to monitor your successes and your learnings. That's really important. What are you learning at each stage of this program and around your goals? And when you've completed a task or a job, reward yourself. Albert Einstein said that the idle man does not know what it is to enjoy rest. Eliminate unnecessary interruptions and distractions. Focus on the task in hand and know when it's time to move on to the next task. Use Stephen Covey's important, non-important, urgent, non-urgent quadrant and focus on what's necessary and essential rather than just filling your day. Get some support where possible, especially for big or difficult tasks. Delegate anything that you're able to and work to your strengths. And remember, successful people make more mistakes than unsuccessful people. And I like the little quote, ships are safe in harbours, but that is not what ships were built to do. So what were you built to do? Now remember, most of the things we put off are normally simple and quick to do, especially if we break them down into manageable bite-sized pieces. So you could stop causing yourself unnecessary stress and anxiety by wasting time and telling fibs to yourself. Over the past 20 years, I've noticed so many individuals I've worked with prior to changing my career to coaching that is wasting time on the internet doing personal stuff, grumbling about tasks they didn't want to do, talking about what they needed to do, putting them off, and then feeling stressed and overwhelmed as deadlines appeared. And research shares that up to a third of the time that we have in offices can be wasted putting off doing something or not planning ahead. As the saying goes, failing to plan is planning to fail. So check with yourself. Do you really want to stop procrastinating, or do you quite enjoy it? Or are you like the individual who says that he or she wants to give up smoking but can't as they light up another cigarette? I know many people who talk about changes that they want, and they delude themselves with stories about how they're making an effort or really trying, but they go on taking no responsibility for making change that they say they want. Are you one of those? You may say you want to stop procrastinating, but where's the evidence that this is true? Are you getting some secondary gain from holding on to this bad habit? No doubt, you won't want the consequences of continuing to procrastinate any more than the smoker won't want lung cancer. But do you really want to move on from it? You already know if you don't, nothing will change. So decide now. What are the consequences of continuing to procrastinate on your current chosen goals? What's going on? Do you feel bad or guilty when you procrastinate? If so, how come that doesn't motivate you? What would? Have there ever been times when you haven't procrastinated? If the answer is yes, what caused you to take action? And how does it make you feel about yourself when you do take action? And is that something that could motivate you? What would you need to do to make the new way your new way of operating? Please answer these questions before you move on. And remember, procrastination is like a credit card. It's a lot of fun until you get the bill. Turn the audio off now, please, and answer those questions. So we're going to look at accountability now. And accountability relates to and supports measurable things like goals and objectives, whether you're a coach or whether you're on a personal development journey with me. It's important to become aware as well as clear about personal accountability and commitment when you're working on your goals. So when you're looking to achieve a goal, it's important, as we already know, to observe your patterns and your bad behaviour and to start changing any that are not supportive as you take steps towards achieving your goal. I mean, all too often, bad behaviour is overlooked by colleagues and partners. They turn a blind eye to it, hoping it will go away or hoping that someone else will deal with it. But not me and not today. So come on, step up. Identify it for what it is. And see if you can find someone to help you to challenge and then commit to taking better actions in the future. Remember also, notice and challenge any negative self-talk and find your friend or find a coach who's going to hold you accountable to the actions that you say that you're going to do on a weekly basis. I so hope that you are taking those 3 steps every single week, because by now you'll have taken 30 towards each of the goals that you've set. I can just see this picture of where you were and where you are now. And I know so many of my students in the past and so many of my clients can map out all those actions, all those steps they've taken and how far they've come. It's like looking over your shoulder and going, wow, I have travelled such a long way. So if you have been taking them, if you have been accountable, if you have been setting priorities and challenging limiting beliefs, you will have taken at least 30 steps by now forward towards your goal and towards the achievement of it. Now just think about that. You've travelled a long way. If for any reason you haven't, you might need to start this programme all over again and start to move forward with it so that you can remember by the time you get to this point again how many steps you'll have taken. And the weeks go by so fast, don't they? And of course, if you take no action, you could have a year later or 5 or 10 years later looking back going, if only I'd done something about it back then, back when I started this programme. So all of this program is really to support you in becoming more accountable and responsible. And again, you know, if you don't like those words, change them to something more positive, but so that you can start to move towards your desired optimum future. So here's your first exercise around accountability. Select one of your goals and then answer the following questions before you move on. So stop after each question, answer them, and then turn the audio back on. Thinking about your goal that you've selected, what personal bad behaviour are you aware of when you think about this goal? Make that sentence make sense to you. If it doesn't, rewrite it, change it, question it, think about it. What personal bad behaviour are you aware of when you're thinking about this chosen goal? How do you rate yourself in terms of self-awareness around your behaviour and this goal? How do you rate yourself about taking actions that move you on? Now, when I say rate, we're talking about a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is the lowest and 10 is absolute self-awareness. And the same with taking action. 1 is I don't take any action and 10 is I regularly, weekly take action. What accountability and responsibility are you prepared to take in order to move forwards? That question should probably take you a little bit of time to think about in order to come up with a really true answer. And how and by who would you like to be challenged if your bad behaviour starts to show up around this goal? What commitment will you make right now to challenging and changing any bad behaviour? Last question. What one thing will you start to do in order to become more accountable as of now? If you've ever worked for anyone, you may have found that when you first went for your interview, your job in a new company, you may have been excited and really keen to get the job. and the person who employs you is really keen to have you on board as well. And of course, a company has a mission and a vision that represents how they operate, what's important to them and what their values are. And it's interesting that when we first go to work for a company, we may think our values are the same and our beliefs are the same as the company that we're going to work for. I'm wondering if you've ever had this experience. And we're excited because it's a new job and a new opportunity. And there's a research that says that generally by about 6 months, the relationship, the mental relationship and the value system relationship starts to change for the employee. That is, unless there's some really good leadership or really good management programs in place. And what happens is little things start to get in the way and start to change that wonderful feeling you used to have when you first went to work for this company, the excitement, the newness of it, etc. And you start to get a bit disgruntled with some of the things that the company do. You might start to feel a bit resentful about how much they put upon you. You might, and I've had this said to me by so many clients, you might feel that there's very, very poor communication. And what happens is common goals start to drift. So the company's goals are no longer your goals, but you still work for the company and you still get paid by the company, but you're not as committed as you were when you first started. I hope this is making sense to you. And little things start to be allowed to let go. You start to behave in a slightly different way, and the company maybe turns a blind eye to it, doesn't say anything or doesn't notice it. And what happens is the relationship starts to break down. And what that does is it takes you away from where you thought you were going to be with this company when you first started. Here's another really good example. It's like a captain of a ship who sets out on a course and daily drifts off just a few degrees off the course out at sea. And of course, initially there isn't really a problem. You're still kind of able to see where it is that you're going. You're just drifting slightly towards one side. But over the course of the next 24 hours, or the next day, or the next week, if you don't correct that drift, your eventual destination is going to be way off course. In fact, you might end up hundreds of miles away from where you originally intended to go. So how does that, those two examples, how does that affect you? Well, the thing is that when you decide that you want something, whether it's tangible or whether it's intangible, and you commit to it by setting a goal, you plant your stake in the ground and you create a possible bright future. And initially, your motivation is high. Just think about the goals that you've set in the past where you're really motivated. This time it's going to happen. And your attitude is good and you're keen to act. And you might even take regular and consistent actions. You're on track, you're focused, and your outcome and the possibility of achievement is only a short way in the distance for you. Now, this exalted state might last for a few days or even for a week or two or even maybe for longer, maybe a month. But then gradually, just something little gets in the way of your focus. You know, you're meant to do this particular task every single day. But it's okay if I just take today off. I'll get back on track tomorrow. I promise I will. And then what happens is the fact that you broke what you were going to do every single day and didn't do it yesterday. And when it comes to doing it the next day, you're like, well, you know, I didn't do it yesterday. And I feel really bad about that. And I know I should have done this, particularly with diets, by the way, this one, or giving up smoking or eating healthy or going to the gym or exercise. It particularly works for these goals, but it works for other goals as well. And then you say, well, oh, you know, I was really good last week. So, okay, it's only another day. It's only 2 days. I promise I'll get back on track tomorrow. And then you notice that your conscious mind might want one thing, which is for you to go do the exercise or to take action on the goal and not procrastinate, etc., and be accountable and responsible. But your unconscious mind pulls you in a different direction, part separation. In an NLP, you might say, well, part of me wants this or knows this, but the other part of me says this. Or maybe something important comes up and you have to postpone your new actions or commitments. But of course, again, it's only for today. I'll be back on it tomorrow. Or perhaps you have a late night and you feel tired the next day and you can't be bothered to do the action today. So you give up just for that day, as we've already said, or that afternoon. I'll just give myself the morning or afternoon off and I'll do twice as much tomorrow. But of course, tomorrow comes and again, as earlier. you don't take the action. Do you get the picture? And the point is that each time you let something small go unnoticed or unchallenged, thinking it won't matter too much, it takes you a degree or two off course. And the more little things that you let go, the more excuses that you make, as the weeks and the months pass by, you get to a point where you end up asking yourself something like, how did I end up here? This isn't what I had in mind 5 or 10 or more years ago. How did this happen? Just acknowledging this, just bringing this to your sessions and learning how to treat yourself kindly can start to turn some of this self-awareness into development and growth and learning. So in turn, you can have a positive impact on the goals that you're setting yourself and a positive impact on those who either look up to you or work with you or surround themselves with you. I hope you're getting the point of this, because there's an old saying, an old proverb, if you don't know where you're going, any path will do, but you won't know when you get there. So a congruent and accountable individual starts to notice when they're going off track. They're honest with themselves, and ideally they face up to what it is that they've let go that day. And they ask themselves some positive questions, some coaching questions, and they check in with their motivation. And they recognize whether this really is an exercise that they want to complete, a goal that they want to achieve, or whether it's a should that they don't want to do, which we've already talked about. And they sit down and ask themselves, what could they learn from this? It's never a failing, it's always a learning. What could they learn from this? And how can they use that learning to get them back on track at another point in the future, tomorrow, or whenever it is that they're next due to take this action? And ideally, they'll have a coach who's going to help them identify and become aware of the reality of the situation, who's going to challenge them and then help them to get back on track. It's just easier if you've got a coach that can help you to do this as well as doing it by yourself. Here's another exercise for you. What are your goals for this program? I know you know this, but this is another recap as well as an exercise. What's your mission statement that's going to support you in achieving your goals? Just like the companies you might have worked for or the companies that you shop from, what's the mission statement? Or if you've got your own business, you'll have a mission statement and a vision. Around this goal, what are your core values in this area of your life? All that means is, what's really important to you? What matters to you about this goal? So if it's a career goal, what are your core values? So let me share with you that my core value in my career is security. Even now, even though I'm self-employed, it's security and building it. And the second one is variety. I need to feel secure and I need some variety. I get bored if I do the same things day after day after day. So I know that they're my core values. And it also is really important to me that I make a difference. But of course, making a difference makes me feel a certain way. And what does making a difference make me feel? Well, it makes me feel that I'm contributing. So my core values in career are security, variety, and contribution. And if I've got those met, I'm going to be a very happy employee or self-employed person, and they motivate me to take action. So what are your core values in the area of your life that you've set this goal in? Make sure that you stop and answer these questions fully before you move on. Now you know what really matters to you. Do you notice if other people or if you aren't honouring them? So another example, if I work for a company who is constantly threatening my security in terms of my work with them, it's going to cause me to go look for another job. Because if people start to threaten that aspect, or if they give me a job where I'm sitting at a desk, when I used to work for companies, if I'm sitting at a desk and they're giving me the same monotonous tasks to do day after day after day and there's no variety, I'm going to go look for another job. And if I feel that my job doesn't make any difference and I'm not contributing in any way, then again, I'm going to get bored and I'm going to go away and I'm going to look for a different job. So what I can do is, if I notice that my employer is giving me the same old things to do day after day after day, I can go speak to him or her and say, look, I used to have more variety and I've noticed now I've got this particular task that you've given me. Can I just have a chat with you about it? Is this something that I'm going to be doing indefinitely, or is this just a short-term blip? Is it something that you just want me to do for a week or a month or two, and then I'll go back to having some variety again? And I can do the same about security. I can have a conversation, and I can do the same about making a contribution that I mentioned as well. So do you notice when others aren't honouring the values? And if you do, then you need to step up and have a conversation. You need to acknowledge it rather than grumbling or moaning or complaining. You need to do something about it. And do you notice when you let it go as well? You'll normally feel it because you'll get anxious or upset or worried or angry. You'll get some emotional feeling. But please, start to be aware of what's important to you, and your body will give you messages. And act on it. Do something about it if it's not working for you. So please take some time to check in with your goal and with your values around that now. Follow the questions in your workbook, please. So how do you communicate with and about yourself? We've done this before with Mind Chatter and in the belief section. How do you communicate about this goal with yourself and about yourself in terms of this goal? Get very, very clear. Please write down in your journal and or share with your coach the answers to these questions. And select a goal you're committed to achieving. What signs will you notice that will tell you if you start to go off track? So stay with the goal that you just picked a few moments ago, or if you want to pick another one because maybe you don't procrastinate on this one at all, then pick a different goal where you are making some excuses and ask yourself, what signs will there be that will help you notice if you start to go off track? Excuses, fear, procrastination, etc. Please stop the audio and get clear about how you'll know if you're starting to allow things to get in the way, if you're going off track. Remember the metaphor of the captain earlier. And what will you do to challenge what you recognize so that you can stay on track? How will you get yourself back on track? How will you keep yourself motivated? Very often, having your values met is a way to keep you motivated, so you can pull the answers from the previous question to help you with this one. Is your conscious mind and your unconscious mind working together in harmony with your current goal or your current goals if you're working on more than one? Remember, part of you might be going, I want this goal, and another part might be causing you to procrastinate. If that's happening, they're not working in harmony. Check with each one. Are they working in harmony? And if they're not, start to get them to do that. And please, get your coach to help you with this. And if you have got part separation going on, if you have an NLP coach, they're going to be able to help you work on that even quicker than with non-NLP. But you can do this without NLP. Trust me, it's fine to do it consciously and unconsciously, with or without NLP, but it works even quicker with. So please check, are your conscious and unconscious mind working together in harmony on your current goals? And what do you do to show yourself respect? Do you remember in the self-esteem and confidence session? Our self-esteem is about how we value ourselves and how we respect ourselves. So what do you do to respect your values and respect yourself around these goals? And exactly what does the word respect mean to you? You might need to go back and answer that last question again after this. How would you know if you were respecting yourself in terms of this goal? And how do you show others respect? And how do you get respect from others? Please take some time to answer that question. And how well do you look after yourself, especially around this goal? Say exactly what you do and how often you do it. This is all part of celebration. This is all part of keeping you on track and motivating you towards achieving the goals that we've been working with for all these weeks. How do you make yourself feel good about yourself in terms of your goals? Please, please do those exercises now before you move on to the next part of today's session. I hope you found that a really great exercise to help you to get clear about responsibility and accountability for your outcomes, and also to highlight, bring into your awareness again, some of the unconscious things you might have been thinking or doing or saying or even creating just because you didn't know that you were doing them. So I hope you've really taken the time to get clear about your habits and behaviours around procrastination, and also how you value your goals and what your values are. And particularly how you respect yourself and others, so that if you're not respecting yourself, then it could stop you from taking really strong actions. And if you're not respecting yourself, whatever that means to you, it could be denting your self-esteem and your confidence. And of course, if they're low, you might be more likely to procrastinate. So it's a really great exercise, good questions to answer to help get you back on track and to challenge procrastination. Many authors that I've read talk about how so many of us want quick fixes and how it's so much easier to actually blame other people for things that don't go right in our lives. And I know that we've looked at that in previous sessions before. And sometimes what we might do, because we don't like responsibility or the thought of it, we might look to alleviate ourselves of that responsibility if something isn't working and make it somebody else's fault. But it could just be that circumstances are beyond our control. And it's much easier to blame the government or the company we work for, or our colleagues or friends or family. In fact, anyone but us. And coaching and neurolinguistic programming really help for us to recognize and look at ourselves and our behaviors and patterns to see what's really going on so that we can make the change that we actually want to through our self-awareness. Again, I know you know this. So if you want to achieve your goals and objectives, the ones that you've listed at the start of this program, you are going to want to remind yourself daily, ideally, of what it is you want and how you're going to hold yourself accountable or responsible for achieving it. So in order to keep you on track, consider including the following points into your daily observations. Catch yourself if you blame others or conditions for what's not working around your goals. Catch yourself making excuses. And again, you could bring on board whoever it was you got to help you before when you were catching limiting beliefs. See if you can hear yourself telling stories about why you can't have what you want or why you're not taking action. And if old ways or patterns start to creep in, you need to challenge them immediately. Again, as always, use your coach and buddy to help you become aware so that you can move forward. And welcome the support of anyone who's there to help you move forward with these goals and with the challenges that might come up while you're doing it. See if you can get some family members or some really good friends to hold you accountable. I know your coach will do it, but to hold you accountable as well to the actions. It's not for them to nag you. It's not for them to moan at you. It's for them to remind you of what it is you want them to hold you accountable for. So you need to get clear about what it is you want so you can communicate that to those around you who will be supporters, positive supporters for you. Accountability is paramount to your success. Without it, it's going to be much more difficult, nigh on impossible, to achieve your goals or outcomes, because you will give away your power by blaming other people and not taking responsibility for what you can do to make it happen. You know, no one can make you successful, not at weight loss, not in business, not in setting up something new, not in getting a new career, not in relationships or wealth or any other goal that you've decided that you want to work on. It's only you that can actually make yourself successful at it. So take responsibility for your personal happiness. Identify your fears. Get clear about past events and emotions that drain your energy or rob you of feeling good, and challenge them. This program, as well as wonderful techniques such as NLP, thoughtful therapy, and reflective repatterning, can be very supportive alongside coaching in helping you to move on. So when you're learning something new or when you're looking to break habits, if something goes wrong, whether it's a conversation or a task, look inwardly for the solutions and the answers. And we've covered this before. I asked you to look up Kolb's learning cycle. And I want to introduce you now to the learning cycle so that if you haven't already found it, now you'll be able to start to use it, particularly when we're looking at procrastination. And very soon we're going to be looking at fear as well. So the first stage is you have an experience. And the second stage is taking time to reflect on that experience. So you might want to understand why the experience happened or what happened or if something went wrong, what went wrong. And if you do this, then you can get clear about what actually happened, ideally, objectively, if possible, rather than getting caught or trapped in your emotions. And by looking at stage two from an objective point of view, you'd be able to move on to stage three. Now, many people stay stuck at stage two, looking at why. Why did this happen? Why does it happen to me? And get caught in this trap of negative thinking. It's a victim mode, victim mentality. And if you stay here, it won't take long before you'll start to look for someone to blame other than yourself. And if you do blame yourself, then you'll stay trapped in beating yourself up metaphorically and keeping yourself playing a very small game. And you'll stay trapped in those negative feelings and emotions, and you're going to end up in this awful vicious cycle of mind chatter and perhaps victimizing yourself and not taking responsibility for your thoughts and your feelings and your actions. And of course, then you may put off taking action on your goal. So if it's possible, you could even play a chair game, which is something called perceptual positions, where if it involves other people, you put however many chairs out to represent the people. So it might be one or other person, or it might be a couple of people. And what you do is you sit in a chair and you listen in your mind's eye to how that other person might have been feeling from an objective place with the interaction that you had, whether it's a boss or a colleague or a friend or someone else. And then you get up and you go sit in the chair as the other person and you listen to how you're feeling in that event. And then the ideal is you step outside of yourself and you look in on the conversation and you see both points of view, both sides. And from that, you take any learning. It's not about them being right and you being wrong or the other way around. It's about taking information from it from a non-emotional place. So that's another way of reflecting, but you may have a more effective way. All I want you to do is remain outside of emotion. So if you've managed to do that, stage three is check out the facts. How did the outcome that you ended up with happen? What were the reasons it ended this way? What were you responsible for? What was the other person responsible for? And I've just mentioned perceptual positions to you. If you want to find out more about it, you can have a look on the NLP encyclopedia. You can look for that online. It's a reference encyclopedia, so you can't copy and paste it, but you can learn more about perceptual positions if it's something that you like the sound of, if you don't have your own particular ways of reflecting. Now, some people then get stuck at stage three, and if they do, they move into confusion and hurt and start to feel wounded. So again, you can still stay in the victim mentality and the blame mentality if you don't complete the cycle. So stage four is, now that you've got more knowledge about the event, ask, what can I learn from this? By moving on to this stage, you can recognize the learnings and you can check out what you want to do with them. It doesn't mean to say it'll make everything go away, but what it does mean is that you'll be able to make decisions about if this should happen again. How will you handle it differently? What will you do next time? How could you improve the situation? So you're asking yourself powerful questions, coaching questions, and of course your coach will be able to help you to do this. So please, write out your goals. Again, it's really good to write your goals down. I hope you know that by now. Keep writing them out. It's bringing them into reality and into your conscious mind. Ensure you have clear targets for each of them. Read them daily and check your actions are aligned with your values, standards, and life plan. Think about what you really want and then promise yourself that you're going to get it. Ensure that you can keep those promises and then go ahead and take the necessary actions. Now, if you've got self-respect, there's a good chance you promise yourself something, you'll keep your word to yourself, you keep a date with yourself, you're going to take those actions. If you haven't, then you may need to start working on trusting yourself, valuing yourself enough, taking enough care of yourself, that if you say you're going to do something for you, that you're going to keep to it, you're going to do it. Check what boundaries have you got in place for yourself and for others. How do you protect those boundaries so that you don't make excuses by letting yourself get distracted? Too many of us have goals. We say we've got boundaries, but we allow other people to take us away from what it is we're doing. There's no harm in saying to people, I'd love to help you and I'm going to help you, but I can't do it right now. And keeping an appointment with yourself, keeping time for yourself so that you can achieve your goals. You are such an important person, the most important person in your life. So value yourself by putting boundaries in place. Turn off your TV, turn off your phone, turn off your mobiles, whatever it is. If you need some time just to think and reflect and to move on, give yourself that time. I'm sure you'd give it to other people. So what stops you from giving it to yourself? And use the above information as a means for you to move to action rather than to negative emotions such as guilt or anxiety or worry, and take yourself through the learning cycle to support you with the changes that you require. Now, we are coming to the end of this session, and to end it, I'd like to remind you that by staying true to yourself, particularly when you're faced with challenges or difficulties, will help you to break old procrastination patterns, improve your confidence and self-esteem, and move you from a place of victim to one of choice. It will also free up your physical and creative energy and move you from your comfort zone into your stretch zone and support you in growing and developing your strengths and your self-belief. So here we are at the end of another week. Next week, we're going to be looking at fear. We're going to have quite a few exercises around it, around how to manage it, how to understand it, and how to move on from it. So a recap for today's session. Well, we've looked at your mind chatter, we've identified your mind programs, and we've looked at techniques to break your old state. And some of the personal development exercises that I've introduced you to are the wooden spoon pattern interrupt, a practice and habit change formula. I've asked you to notice any procrastination behavior from last week and to start noticing it from this week into the future. We've done some visualization. We've checked in with the fear or anxiety state in preparation for next week versus the excitement state. And we've also looked at how to start to change your state from one of fear into excitement. And that was building on some of the exercises that we've done before. So here's your questions to put around the house, in your car, in your diary for this week to continue your self-awareness that you've started. I want you to notice and ask yourself, how much on a scale of 1 to 10 do I want to beat or work on procrastination? As I tackle my tasks today, how do I know I expect to be successful? What tells me that I will give today's tasks my best efforts? Today, how often do I intend to believe myself that I will complete my tasks with ease? If any of my tasks appear difficult and I feel like giving up, what will I say to myself to remain motivated? How will I challenge or replace negative mind chatter with positive thoughts? Do I want to go on living with negative thoughts, doubts and fears? And if so, what would cause me to want to do that? Are there any benefits of clinging on to my old negative attitude? How do I know I believe I can change my old behaviours? Who can I ask today to support my changes? How can I practice responsibility and accountability today? By the end of today, I will have taken action on. And as always, to end our sessions together, you have your weekly action plan. Where are you now with your goals? Please write a sentence saying what you think about each one of the goals that you're writing on right now. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve it this week? And what 3 steps could you take to move you closer to your goal? And what steps will you take between now and next week? What have you done over the past weeks to take you closer? Please write your progress today on your sheets. So, as I said, here we are at the end of week 11. I think you've had a lot to think about during this session, and my hope is that you have plenty of thoughts and activities to help you get on with what you want to achieve and to start to beat and move on from procrastination. You got plenty of information in today's session, which builds on what we started last week. So, as always, I want to wish you a fabulous week. I want to wish you lots of light, lots of love and support, and I'll very much look forward to speaking with you again, same time next week. For now, take care.